This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, NY World Class Market, New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Hammer and Aruba All Inclusive Resort, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Boxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I've gone through the blown saves, and I know we've had a number of them, but really it hasn't cost us as many games as what you would think during out the year. Our bullpen has basically been fine.
Those six words, boy, did they send people into orbit in the last 24 hours. Baseball fans, anyway. Our bullpen basically has been fine. Dave Dombrowski last night over at Fenway Park on the Nesson pregame show. That's where we're going to begin tonight as the Red Sox are, dare I say, playing out the string. Is that too strong a term, Marshall? Is it
no.
Too early to say playing out the string? August 7th, playing out the string.
Playing would mean they'd be putting in effort, Tony. It doesn't look like they're doing that.
So I'll tell you what, in all seriousness, before we get to Dombrowski, if you had told me before the year started that the Red Sox would be 7 out in the loss column for the second wild card spot, I would have said to you, stop. Stop. That is unfathomable to me that they would be 7 out in the wild card. 7 out. With the roster they have and the suck bag teams there are at the bottom of the American League, 7 out, no way, not in a million years, that would constitute a disaster. That's what I would have told you before the season started. Marshall, is it a disaster?
It is. It's an unmitigated disaster. You have a team that has got an uber-expensive starting rotation, the most expensive roster in all of baseball, a team that's got a reigning MVP, I don't know where J.D. Martinez, was he third up, runner-up, whatever, he was in there as well, you know, a World Series winner, obviously, that returned entirely the same team from top to bottom, with the exception of the bullpen. And for them to not even be sniffing a wild card spot right now, unmitigated disaster.
I mean, so again, look, we use the term disaster in the sports context. Okay, there's a lot going on in this country in the last week that we all know the realities of what we do here. So I just want to get that part clear. In the context of the sports world, what the Red Sox are doing is a disgrace. It is. It's a disgrace, which brings me to Dave Dombrowski. Yesterday at this time, I began the program by telling you that, according to Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, that Dombrowski has isolated himself from people in the organization, that he really just hangs out with Frank Wren, his assistant GM, effectively, and Tony La Russa, whom he brought in to be an advisor to Alex Cora, and again, is really just his guy. So that it suggests that he's sort of in this little corner by himself. And that nugget from Shaughnessy was in the context of Shaughnessy writing what he said was informed speculation. He'll be shocked, Shaughnessy says, if Dombrowski is back next year. He'll be shocked if Dombrowski is not fired. Okay, that's what he wrote. So this has led to naturally all kinds of speculation and belief that Dave Dombrowski's out at the end of the year. He has 1 year remaining on his contract. There are a number of questions to ask from this. Okay, first of all, not would you fire him, because I know Marshall would fire him in a second. Marshall has got a lump of coal in his chest. He has no heart. He would fire Dave Dombrowski in an instant. So the question isn't whether you would do it. The question, Marshall, is does Dombrowski deserve it?
And I argue yes. Yes, he does. And I get the argument that he doesn't. He won a World Series. He won a bunch of divisions in a row. But I look at this year. What did he do from last year coming into this year? He didn't do anything. He didn't do a single damn thing. He re-signed Nate Eovaldi, which I guess you can give him credit for. There was competition for his services. I don't think there was any realistic competition for Steven Pierce, so signing him I count as nothing. He brought in Jordan Walden, and that's it, because he watched his closer and Craig Kimbrell walk out the door. And I'm not saying you need to re-sign him, but you needed to bring in a closer, I believe. And there were plenty of them out there, plenty of guys with major league closing experience, and you brought in none of them. Best of our knowledge, I don't think you entertained bringing in any of them. And you did nothing to take Joe Kelly's spot in the rotation, unless you count Jordan Walden there. But he took a look at a team that won a World Series, and he did the easiest possible thing, which was, let's just bring them all back. Let's take every single one of them, bring them back, and we'll just do the exact same thing we did last year. So basically, since acquiring Ian Kinsler last year in August or whenever he did that, he basically has done nothing up to and including today. I mean, he brought in what's his name?
Andrew Cashner
from Baltimore. And that guy's gone 1-4 with the 7 ERA. He did nothing at the trade deadline. And while people focus on that, he also did nothing in April, May, June, or July when it was clear that the bullpen was a major issue for this team. It was clear, what, 2 weeks into the season? He did nothing. So that, to me, is a problem. I mean, I understand the success of everything he did up until the conclusion of the World Series last year. But now he's basically the dude who shows up to work late, throws his feet on his desk, and just sits there and plays on the computer all day long till it's time to punch out at the end of the day. He's not doing the job.
Okay, so Marshall, look, here's what I would tell you. He's had a horrible year, like everyone else over there. He's had a horrible year. Deserve to be fired? I would say no. But at the same time, here's what I would tell you. Would I go out of my way to spare him? No. And here's why. Dave Dombrowski, to me, has been overrated. And like I look at him and I say, the guy doesn't live up to the reality. The image, the reputation was huge coming in here. And I don't think he's that good. I don't think he does anything all that creative or unique. Frankly, and again, for a guy who has such a big reputation, let's not forget, he won the World Series last year largely with someone else's players or players he acquired with someone else's checkbook or someone else's prospects. He didn't build any of it. And, it was his first title in 30 years or pretty damn near 31 or whatever the hell it was. So, like, for a guy who has his big reputation, it's not exactly like he's racked up all these rings, for crying out loud. And then the other part of the story that I find interesting in the last 24 hours, again, the Shaughnessy thing hit yesterday. Have you heard a peep out of Fenway Park shooting it down?
No.
Like, if it were untrue that there was some sort of problem there, don't you think John Henry would have come out and said, I don't know where this is coming from? Henry hates Shaughnessy like poison. Like poison. So does Werner. They'd have been all too thrilled to shoot down Shaughnessy. They didn't do that. So again, I think the reality is Dombrowski's done at the end of the year. And then when he feeds you lines like he did last night, boy, it's hard to have compassion for him. You know, our bullpen basically has been fine. What games has he been watching? And I know that Tom and Quincy doesn't agree because Tom hates that bullpen. Tom, what do you got?
Oh, do I hate him and the bullpen? But this is the thing, besides the, me and you have talked about him countless times. He thinks everyone's stupid. The one that offended me, it wasn't even the one that where our bullpen was good. I just laughed at that one. It was the one where our team is built on starting pitching. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I agree. But where's the statement where when you're starting pitching that you're paying through the nose for can't get out of the third inning and you're bringing in all these, you name it, like we've talked, stiff of the day, wheel of gutless bums, like Murray says, and the first thing they do, come in, walk the first guy. Second guy, double. Third guy, run bomb. Every game. So it's like, where is that? Where is the mention of that, Tony? There's no accountability on his end for that, and that's aggravating.
So
like,
Tom,
very aggravating.
Yeah, Tom, this is where I agree with you. Again, like, you know, it's on the one hand, Dombrowski will sit there and say, we're a team that's built around a starting pitching and take no responsibility for the fact that he built it, right? He built it. And giving Chris Sale that contract was a colossal mistake. Giving Nathan Eovaldi that contract, not revisionist history, Marshall. Not revisionist history. I said at the time, paying Nathan Eovaldi $17 million a year was outrageous. Jimmy, isn't that the word I used? I used the word outrageous?
Outrageous, Maz.
Outrageous. Outrageous paying Nathan Eovaldi that kind of money. Out freaking rageous. And people got mad at me for it at the time. And then Dombrowski sits there and tells you the bullpen's not a problem? What was the phrase again, Jimmy? Our bullpen basically has been okay?
Fine.
What was it again, Jimmy? Can you play that?
Our bullpen has basically been fine.
They're 30th in the league, in the majors, in save percentage. That is not fine.
In the same breath, he said something like, well, I know that there's been a lot of blown saves, but it's been fine. That's like saying, listen, I know the doctor has killed a lot of his patients, but I mean, he's basically been fine. Like, those two things don't go together. You can't say we have this massive number of blown saves, which is a pretty direct link between winning a game or not, and then saying, yeah, but they've been fine. They've been fine. I mean, they can't close a game, so we don't win them. But, they've been fine.
I mean, I don't know. Listening to Dombrowski last night, I didn't hear it in real time. That was on while we were on. So I heard it this morning. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, was smart enough to record it. Beetle made this today. You know that Nesson doesn't put up any of their own audio or video on their website?
It's pretty much by design.
Why?
Because they want you to watch the television show.
I mean, that's like the stupidest thing ever. So even after the fact...
Is Nesson the brightest company in the world?
Okay, but like once it airs, there's no watching it again. It's out. So initially I thought it was like an MLB thing, Jimmy. I thought maybe MLB.com had the rights to it before Nesson did. Because I think at one point there was that tussle between MLB and... the local cable, the local broadcasters, the regional broadcast networks over that content. But the YES Network puts their stuff on all the time.
Yeah, it's totally the choice of Nesson, because I'll see Tom Caron's Twitter and he'll have, post-game analysis with Jim Rice when he loses his mind.
So I look at it and I said, ultimately the point is this. I heard it this morning thanks to you because you were smart enough to record it. I didn't hear it live last night. And some of the stuff that Dombrowski said, you know what it felt like to me? Like he was interviewing for a job. That's what it felt like. Like he was interviewing for a job. And maybe that's exactly what Dave Dombrowski was doing, was putting his resume out there for everyone to hear it.
His version of his resume.
We'll give you samples of it when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Sox come. This is the Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
1-0 and a high fly ball into left center field.
Oh, no.
That one traveling deep again, and that ball is gone. Ooh. Soler, for the second time in the ballgame, has cranked a 2-run homer, and he has 31 for the season, and Kansas City has jumped in front, and Taylor can't get started quickly enough. Jumped in front 6-1.
Two reasons to play that highlight from last night. Low light. Call it whatever you want. First, you hear the boos in the background, Marshall? You hear those?
People are not happy.
Well, they shouldn't be happy. How could they be happy? They deserve to get booed. They should have been booed in the opener, frankly. They should have had their asses booed off the field, given the way these guys have performed this year. The pitching staff in particular. And Andrew Cashner, who's been exactly what he was his whole career when he got here, a loser. They sent him out to the mound. He's lost 4 out of 5 since he joined the team. That's the real reason we played the highlight. You don't hear Cashner's name mentioned there, but Cashner has been a disaster. That is the only move that Dave Dombrowski has made since he has taken over. Andrew Cashner is the only one. So look, we're at a stage of year here where the games aren't meaningful at all. It feels like the Red Sox are unraveling or have unraveled. And from this point forward, do you have any thoughts, theories as to what they should do, where they're going to go, how they're going to fix it? Anything and everything, we will take your thoughts here on the Baseball Reporters. Okay? So for example, I'm going to go to Steven and Quincy now as an interesting idea concerning Chris Sale, who has sucked really all year. Go ahead, Steven.
Hey, Maz, how you doing?
Good.
good. My idea with Sale is, considering the season's lost, and is basically shut him down, have him go with some trainer or whatever, work out during the entire off season, put a few pounds on, come back. Hopefully next year he's Chris Sale of old. The other thing is,
so Steven, stop there for a second. Okay, let's just do one thing at a time. When you say stop him now and work with a trainer, you know, have a good off season. Why do you have to shut him down to do that? Why can't he do that during the off season starting on October 1st?
Just in case he's got a shoulder problem and he's not saying anything. I mean, these games really mean nothing. You know, put some weight on the guy, because honestly, you know, it's like if somebody goes near him and farts, he looks like he's going to fall over.
Okay, so look, I hear what you're saying. He's always been skinny, though, right? He's always been skinny. This year, he didn't even pitch well in the early part of the year. So, and the thing you're talking about is, well, put on weight. He's had to deal with that his whole life, too. He can't put on weight. They've tried. Okay, they've tried. Marshall, would you shut down Chris Sale?
Why? I mean, there is no indication whatsoever that he's injured. This entire theory that we've had in the past where he's been, you know, shut down, put on the DL, and I can say that because it was the DL last year, for 2 months in the middle of the season, whatever. He's healthy. He just sucks. Like, this isn't the problem. Typically, he'd be awesome in the beginning of the year, then he'd get hurt, and then you'd miss him for a couple months in the middle. That has not been the case at no point, with the exception of maybe 3 weeks in April into May or somewhere in there, has he been anything close to the pitcher he's been in the past, and he appears to be fully healthy. Like, has he missed a start this year?
I don't think so.
When's the last time he made all of his starts? I don't know, but he's making them all this year, so health isn't a factor. Weight isn't a factor. It's just, I mean, he takes plenty of responsibility for his own performance. He talks about how frustrated he is. He knows he's not pitching well, but at no point has there been any indication that's about health. So what would be the point of shutting him down?
So here's the other thing for me, and I'm generally speaking with you. Here's the other thing for me. The whole idea of this plan was that he would be stronger at the end. So let's find out. I mean, how do you find out if it worked otherwise? Now, look, the games don't mean anything. Maybe it doesn't mean anything anyway. Maybe it's impossible to make a judgment. But you spend all this energy in this plan to get him ready for the end of the year, and now you're going to shut him down early? No way. Not a million years. No way. Drew on Dave Dombrowski. Go ahead, Drew in Northbridge.
Hey, guys. So I kind of agree with Matt there. I agree with you also, Tony. It's not a fireable offense, his dereliction of duty before the season, thinking that the bullpen was going to be okay. It's terrible and stupid, but not fireable offense given his success here so far. The fireable offense comes at the trading deadline when you know the internal workings of your team, you know their holes and how bad they are and the hills they have to climb against better competition, and you don't make a move on all those guys you're not bringing back next year, especially the amount of haul you could get for Mookie at a year plus.
So, Drew, you mean selling. You mean he should have sold.
Yes, 100%. That is the fireable offense. If you're not adding, you better be selling, because this is just stupidity.
Okay, so look, that's Matt McCarthy's argument. Matt McCarthy of Hardcore Baseball. You can listen to the podcast here at 98.5sportshub.com. For that matter, you can listen to the Baseball Reporters podcast here too. So this idea that Dombrowski should have sold, like, I don't buy into this one either. And I'll tell you why. First of all, there's nothing wrong with standing pat. Okay? There's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes that's the best course of action. Secondly, Marshall, why do you want to fire Dave Dombrowski?
Because in addition to all of what he hasn't done this year, the job is different now. The job is going to be different for this team going forward. They've already won their championship, and now it's about building for the future. And that is not what Dave Dombrowski does. That's
okay,
not what he does.
Okay, stop there. So then this is my point. If you want to sell, and Dave Dombrowski is not the guy to build for the future, then why do you want him identifying the prospects in other organizations? And I don't mean you, Marshall.
Yep.
I mean the fans. You sit there and say, well, he should sell. Or they should, you know, now they have to rebuild. He shouldn't be the GM. Then what do you want him selling at the deadline for? You can't do it that way. If he's not the guy to build it, to trade away veteran players like Mookie, identify young talent in other organizations and rebuild your farm system, then why do you want him overseeing your trade deadline? You don't. In fact, like, the thing I found peculiar about when the Tigers fired Dave Dombrowski is they let him run the draft. and then they fired him. Well, what the hell did you do that for? Like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You fired him after the draft and the trade deadline, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe it was before the trade deadline. But that is like one of the dumbest things ever, for crying out loud. If you're going to fire Dombrowski, you get him out of there early. Now, the reason I would get rid of Dombrowski, one, I think, like Marshall, I believe you're heading towards a young, you know, a rebuild of your farm system, not a rebuild of your big league team. A rebuild of your farm system, and he's not the guy to do it. Secondly, I don't think he's all that special, and I think the Red Sox should have a great GM. And I don't know if Dave Dombrowski's a great GM. I think the reputation is greater than the reality. John's in Fall River. John, go.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. Tony, I agree with you regarding his legacy and his and him not being special. If you look at his time in Florida, you look at his time in Detroit, he builds a very big, expensive starting rotation that always ends up becoming a burden on the payroll. He takes somebody else's young talent that someone else has drafted. He adds expensive veterans to it, depletes the farm system, completely neglects the bullpen. I don't know if you guys remember this. You remember Doug Jones, the reliever with
Of course. It was
Doug Jones was their closer.
I think it was Todd Jones, not Doug Jones, but same idea.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry, yeah, same idea, but this, he has no idea how to build a bullpen. He has no idea how to build a farm system. He doesn't know how to collect young talent. He's good at identifying veterans on a big payroll, sign somebody, bring somebody in, put a team that somebody else has already comprised over the top. He's like the John Gruden of baseball. You know what I mean? John Gruden took Tony Dungy's team and won a Super Bowl. Dave Dombrowski took Ben Cherington's team, sprinkled some stuff on top, and won a World Series. That's kind of his track record with the 97 Marlins. He couldn't do it with 06 Tigers because he couldn't figure out how to build a bullpen, and they ran into the Cardinals that year. I would say he deserves to be fired not just because of the abject poor job that he did going into this season, but because it's the definition of insanity. It's history repeating itself. He's
so
not
John,
the guy.
Yeah, so, John, look, again, to me, I just put it this simply. What has he ever built? What did he build? He's taken some good foundations and some good things and added to them, but he's never built anything from the ground up, ever. I mean, I don't think that's a stretch.
No.
And the Marlins team, that was bought. That was all free agents. Now, you want to say he had a hand in overseeing the rebuild of the Marlins after they won in 97 and they sold everything off? To a degree. He also got Josh Beckett with the second pick, for crying out loud. Is that team winning without Josh Beckett? I mean, the number two pick in the draft. Justin Verlander, which was before he got there or maybe not, was number one in Detroit. Like, anybody could pick those guys. I don't know. I just don't think Dombrowski's all that special. Marshall's got your headlines. When we come back, though, I will ask the question. Dave Dombrowski's going to lose his job, it feels like. And again, we can debate whether or not he deserves it, whether or not they should. The question is if the Red Sox go that route, is there a price? Is there a cost for making that decision? We'll explain after Marshall gets you caught up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This past week is the first time in 4 years we've lost more than four games in a row. So I know that people in general think that the world has come to an end with that. But a lot of clubs lose a lot of games in a row at times. We have not because we've had good clubs.
Tony, every time the guy opens his mouth, he's reading his resume.
You know, it's not that people think it's the end of the world, Dave. It's that people think your team sucks. And moreover, they think you don't care that the team sucks. And they think that the team doesn't care that the team sucks. Like this, other than just the results, has been part of it. Does anyone on that team, other than Chris Sale, seem to care? Do you get any emotion from them whatsoever? Do any of them seem to care that they have sucked day in and day out for much of the season. I don't get it from any of them.
So, look, that can be a tricky thing, though, because there are plenty of guys that care that don't show it. I mean, I think Bogarts cares. I think that it feels like Devers plays with some passion, and it feels like he cares. And, again, not that passion is the be-all and end-all. I just think, you know, he rattles it off the last 4 years. We haven't lost four in a row. You know why he rattles off the last 4 years? Because that's when he's been the GM. That's why. Like, boy, you're going to throw me out the window? That it felt to me like he was interviewing for a job. He knows he's out the door, and now he's telling the world, I'm not so bad, I don't deserve it. Which does bring me to a question, by the way. We'll get to in 1 minute. First, DraftKings Fantasy Pick of the Night, brought to you by DraftKings. You can play free fantasy baseball this season with the promo code BOSTON. When you make your first deposit on DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy baseball. Again, the code is BOSTON, minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. You can see DraftKings.com for details. Tonight's fantasy pick of the night, we're going right here in this ballpark, Marshall.
I can't wait.
Whit Merrifield, $4,400. His last 10 games, he's hitting .300. He's gone 4-for-8 in the series. He's 5-for-9 off Eduardo Rodriguez. You can use him at second base or in the outfield. He's a good option for what is a couple of expensive spots there. $4,400, you get a good player in Whit Merrifield. And hell, let's kick the Red Sox when they're down a little. Why not? 617-779-0985. Let me ask you this question with regard to Dombrowski. And I ask this seriously. Because, again, if you're asking me, I think they can do better. But if you fire Dave Dombrowski, remember that you are firing a GM now for the second time in the aftermath of winning a World Series. In the case of Ben Cherington, it happened a year and a half later, not a season later. Okay? So in the Dombrowski, you won the World Series in October, and basically, you know, before the end of the next year, he's gone. I mean, it's August 7th, and the story's already out there. August 7th. Cherington made it through one season, but he was halfway through July or halfway through August of 2015 when Dombrowski came in and they got rid of him in midstream. Why are you laughing at me, Jimmy?
Just because I kind of hope that this guy gets blown out September 1.
Dombrowski?
Yeah.
Okay. I think you're laughing at me because I never get my dates right. That's what I think. But in any case,
I'd tell you that.
Oh. So I just think that the question for me with the Red Sox is now, you know, are you doing damage to yourselves? If you fire another GM within a year and a half after winning the World Series, or a season and a half after winning the World Series, is a guy like Theo Epstein going to want to come here? If I'm Theo, you know what I would ask for? Like I told you, I think they should go after Theo. If I'm him, you know what I would ask for, Marshall? 10 years and a share of ownership. I want a Billy Beane deal.
Well, and I think that's what it would take to get somebody like Theo.
I mean, that's what I would ask for that. After the way the Red Sox have behaved, 10 years, share of ownership. I want a Billy Beane deal. John's in a car. John, what do you got?
So, Anthony, it is a fireable offense to get rid of him, but there isn't a replacement plan. Romero isn't. I mean, he's not going to be Dombrowski. He's not going to be as serviceable. That guy's got a reputation. He's got a track record. But the Cashner trade, to me, honestly, now, correct me.
Wait a minute. You're saying that if Eddie Romero's the next GM, that he's not going to be as good as Dombrowski because he doesn't have a track record?
Well, he's unproven. So we don't know. We really don't know what he brings to the table. But the fireable offense to me, Tony, is this. It's that the Cashner trade, he's going to be vested, correct? If he pitches, 40 more innings, we're going to be stuck with him instead of Porcello. But yet we could have traded something for Porcello and added to the farm system. That's a fireable offense, Tony. That's just an opinion.
Okay, so John, listen, does Cashner have a vesting option, Marshall?
He does, and he's probably around for next year, but
he'll never get it.
Well, no, it doesn't matter. He like, that's small money, small potatoes compared to, like, I don't know, re-signing Chris Sale before you had to at full market rates, and you're now with him for 5 years. Like, Cashner's nothing to me in terms of what the
penalty, you know, is.
Commitment is.
Yeah, you know. No. And they're gonna prevent him from pitching. It doesn't matter. Joe's in Tewksbury. Joe, what do you got?
Yeah, I don't think we should give Cora a pass.
Agreed.
I mean, he's responsible for getting those guys ready right from the start of spring training, and God forbid they weren't ready. So, you know, he could have, a blind man could have ridden that bus to the championship last year. And this year, he just didn't get him ready.
Joe was a disaster. Team wasn't ready to go. Chris in Worcester. Chris, quickly.
Hey, quickly. I'm going to revisit the Thornburg for Travis Shaw.
Yep.
Do you think that was now a loss or a win? Because I believe Travis is in the minors. Is that a strike against Dombrowski?
Hell yeah, it's a strike against him. That trade was a disaster. It took Shaw 2 years to get to the minors. Did Thornburg ever pitch a meaningful inning for the Red Sox? One. Did he throw a meaningful pitch?
Not a good one.
No, please.
Not a good one.
Loss. And in fact, they prolonged the loss by keeping him on the roster because they might have been able to put someone else on there or, you know, recognize that he was a failure earlier on and push themselves to make a trade. Could have done a lot of things. Loss. Colossal failure.
The Baseball Reporters on 88.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.